Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our Doc Digest episode 19 with your host Christian Hawkins. Today is April 7th, 2019. Digest.
Welcome.
We would like to share a prayer with all of you who risk it all to seek and share truth for the betterment of humanity. This broadcast is brought to you in part by Eternal Affairs Media and DarkDocs.com.
Welcome to Dark Docs Digest, episode 19. I am your host, Christian Coffins. Today I am calling you from the passenger seat of our car, heading from St. Augustine back to Orlando. It is beautiful out there today. We have a seven-day-old kitten with us named Jasper Jet that we found under the bushes in our community. So you might hear some light, tiny meowing. That's not a glitch. That is actually a small cat. Today we're going to be doing a short half-hour show. I want to do some catching up on posts on the Dark Doc Network, because since so many other things were going on in the last couple episodes, it was neglected. So there's actually a lot of interesting things that have happened recently. We're live today, so if you're hearing this now, and it is 8 p.m. to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, you can call in, and I can listen to your calls, I believe. I'm trying this direct connection through Chrome on my Android phone, so I'm still trying to figure that out, but we'll play it by ear. To start off the show, I want to cover an article that news.vice.com wrote, titled, Seven Women Have Now Said Biden Touched Them Inappropriately. Of course, creepy Uncle Joe Biden has been known and notorious for inappropriately touching women, and especially women under the age of 18, even making some inappropriate remarks that, oh, you're only, 16, 17, you're too old for me, followed by chuckling in several videos. But Vice is trying to make it a point to, try to. Here's Jasper Jet. He wants to say a few words. What do you have to say about Joe Biden? He doesn't like it. I find the tone of this Vice article a little bit as an apologist for this kind of activity from Joe Biden, whereas if Trump or anyone that on the right does anything anywhere near as inappropriate as the stuff that Joe does on a regular basis, they would rail him for it, call him a sexist, call him a rapist, and everything else under the sun. And again, a lot of members of Eternal Affairs Media are Trump supporters. I'm still on the fence about the guy. I like some things, I dislike some things, and I tend to be a moderate and more of a libertarian on a lot of issues. So again, I am not biased leaning towards the conservatives or Trump. Inherently, as a 9/11 truther and a 35-year-old that went through the George W. Bush administration, I am very opposed to neoconservatism and conservatism. And really, I have a bad taste in my mouth about most Republicans historically. And I find that historically, Republicans and Democrats are just two sides of the same corrupt coin, forcing us to continue to fight with one another when really we should be looking more towards a third party that is not corrupted to the level that the Republicans and Democrats have. But this Vice article starts off with, another three women have said that Joe Biden touched them inappropriately hours after the former vice president released a video where he pledged to better respect personal boundaries. In this video, like that. He just, he feels he's very hands-on. He's very passionate. And that just doesn't fly with me. Over the last week, a couple, a total of 7 women have come forward to say that Biden has touched them in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. The ensuing controversy has cast doubt on Biden's long rumored plans for running for the White House in 2020. There's even talks of him or Bernie Sanders running with AOC, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. And his camp has rushed to address the criticism that Biden's physical style of politicking is no longer acceptable in the age of hashtag me too. And that's correct. It never was. It's just something that wasn't talked about, and you would lose your job, if not more, if you did call out these people in politics and in Hollywood. You know, we support people that speak out against abuse, and of course, there are going to be people in any movement that are liars and have an agenda. It happens all the time, but it's important to have the burden of proof really lie on the person being accused of these crimes that are so heinous and so regularly happening. And that's something that, you know, we haven't really gotten to in terms of our judicial system. One of the women who spoke out on Wednesday, Sophie Karasek, told Washington Post, WAPO, of an occasion when Biden pressed his forehead to hers after the two spoke in the 2016 Oscars about college students who killed themselves after sexual assault. Karasek, who had appeared on stage earlier alongside dozens of other survivors of the sexual assault, said that she knew the gesture was intended as kindly, but also felt like her personal space had been invaded. I mean, this is something that I understood when I was in kindergarten. When I was in kindergarten, my kindergarten teacher told me, hands off, you're supposed to keep your hands to yourself. Like, yes, there is an appropriate time for wanted hugging. Excessive hugging is creepy, all right? And you can tell when someone wants to touch you or wants you to touch them, and you can tell when they don't. If they're kind of like leaning away from you, giving you like the eyebrow, you know, raised in the middle, lowered on the sides, you know, giving you a face that, you know, like they just ate a spoonful of something that they didn't quite like, you should probably move on. And it blows my mind that people can go through their life just regularly crossing these boundaries with people and seeing their, I've seen so many videos. You can actually go to darkdocs.com and click on Pizzagate 2, talking about Joe Biden and about Comet Ping Pong Pizza and John Podesta. And they have multiple videos of him with young girls that are just recoiling away from this man while he's trying to, like, sniff their hair and stick his nose in their ears and whisper stuff. It's some of the creepiest stuff. I can't believe that this guy is still around. And the fact that the people on the left that are supposed to be believing the Me Too movement and, you know, we believe survivors, we believe victims, are in love with this guy and think that there's nothing wrong with it and you're a conspiracy theorist if you say anything about it, it just blows my mind the level of cognitive dissonance and hypocrisy from you people that call yourself liberals, from you people that call yourself bleeding hearts and social justice warriors. You should be listening to reviews on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's accent at a recent speech where she was talking to a lot of African-American, a lot of blacks here in the U.S., and she's clapping her hand, and we don't talk, y'all. And she's doing the same thing that Hillary Clinton does wherever she goes, trying to speak like the crowd. She's trying to pander to being, trying to be relatable. But I mean, it's cringeworthy to me. It's totally transparent. It's totally pandering. But I see a lot of people on our Facebook feed that are saying like, you're blowing it way out of proportion. She talks like that. I mean, which blows my mind, because I bet you anything, all those people that are saying that she talks like that and criticizing me for blowing things way out of proportion, I probably listen to AOC way more than they listen to her, because, frankly, I'm actually listening to the hearing, but I'm actually listening to her speaking out about all of the Green New Deal and how no one's paying attention. And if you think that what I'm doing is not the right way, then you do it, you know. And, yeah, she has a little bit of accent, a little bit of street to her, but not to the level of this video. I'm curious to see what you guys think about it. Moving on to the next topic, Sacred Owls, our anti-globalist, anti-Illuminati, anti-pedophile punk rock outfit, is going for the second time from the swamps of Florida to the gates of the Bohemian Grove in Monte Rio, California. This time, we are going to be taking 25 days out on the road and hitting 19 states and a new country. This is actually going to be our first international tour, because we are actually crossing the border in El Paso, Texas, and going down to Juarez, Mexico, and playing a date down there, which we are very excited about. A lot of logistics that need to be looked at in terms of doing this, because, of course, as a Second Amendment advocate, we have to ensure that in case anyone has the gall to try to rob us or mess with us in any way, we can defend ourselves. However, it is rather problematic to have a concealed carry permit here in the U.S. and legally transport guns into Mexico and then back out of Mexico. So I'm going to be calling Border Patrol tomorrow on a recorded line and discussing the logistics, if any, with them, because in my initial research, it's actually a misconception that in Mexico, guns are outlawed. That's actually not the truth at all. The United States of Mexico does actually have a constitution with something similar to our Second Amendment, where you can purchase firearms, but it's from a Mexican-sanctioned gun shop that I believe is run by their military, and you can carry firearms with a permit, and if you are a resident or you're traveling in there legally, there is special privileges given to people that are in the public safety, private sector. Like, let's say if I am the security guard for Sacred Owls, I am the private security for Sacred Owls, and I do have a concealed weapons permit here in the States, it is possible for me to be eligible to carry a firearm into Mexico. But, I'm going to check ahead of time. We might have to, drop them off at a safe house and pick them back up with a trusted friend in El Paso, or perhaps even not carry up to that point and then purchase something for the rest of the tour, because it's only a couple days in. So any of you people listening out there, don't worry, we have plenty of other legal weapons that we can totally wreck you with if you're trying to mess with us. But we're going to follow up with a report and hopefully some pretty fun clips from my phone call to the U.S.-Mexico border that I'm going to be calling tomorrow. Moving on, Brendan O'Leary from ResistTyranny.com posted, both teachers' unions opposed bill would make sex with students a crime. This is from goodschoolhunting.org. Not familiar with this site, but Brendan is usually farm. They will post articles about pretty much any. I'd say about maybe 25% of their articles have some kind of feet on the ground in reality, and then the rest of that 75% of it, your typical reptilian shape-shifting, at darkdocs.com and federaljack.com, sacredowls.com, we've made it very clear that we like to with that being said, the article would make sex with students a crime. Yesterday, at a hearing, the 5817 that would make sex between school employees and students a crime, even at the age of 16, the legal age of Rhode Island, those
students. If you find value in these broadcasts, please invest in your education and sanity at Eternal Affairs Media and DarkDocs.com.
We hope the information you received was beneficial to your quest for truth and justice. Please visit us online at DarkDocs.com to download shows, movies, other podcasts, PDF documents, music, and much more for free. No advertisements, no sign-ups, no terms of use, no censorship, no control. This is information warfare. This is the end of the transmission.